Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remembering unusual times that can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Just ask, say the word. Pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Shit 90 Shows taught me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. I'm Jess Sterling here with my co-host, Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
Horrible. Just horrible.
Would you like to tell me what's bothering you?
Yeah. I got stood up.
Oh, at the altar?
At the altar.
That's so embarrassing.
It is embarrassing. And I was engaged for 3 years and he wouldn't make a date. And I ultimately just got stood up. It's terrible.
Absolutely brutal.
I'm about to sing the Please Kill Me song on the stage. And to be honest with you, that is a bit of me, that song.
As the Brits say, a bit of me. Well, it's rom-com feb. It's frisky feb. Whatever suits your flavor. That's what we're giving today on Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. We're talking The Wedding Singer. And of course, we're not alone. We're joined by, I think, Sarah, if I had to list the five friends that I have that are like the most romantic, right? Big hearts,
yes,
love romance, love to just give love to people around them.
Yeah,
I truly think you and our guest would be on that top five list.
Yeah, I think that last time we were on the podcast with this guest, I think we said that we just love.
I feel like that's very true. So joining us today to talk about The Wedding Singer is MJC Michael J. Clark. How are you, MJC?
I'm talking about The Wedding Singer. That's information that I should have gotten yesterday.
Oh, my God. Oh, gosh.
That's actually a pretty solid Adam Sandler impression. I'm not going to lie. That's really good.
Thank you. I'm sure I'll be dipping into it many times during this podcast.
We're so happy to have you here. You messaged us like a few months back, mm-hmm. and we're like, hey, I want to come on and chat. And I have to look at the Twitter DMs to verify the receipts, but I'm pretty sure you pitched this movie and you were like, hey, is this good? And we're like, rom-com feb, boom, 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 done. Lock it down.
Absolutely. You have to look at the Venn diagram of, is this a rom-com? Did this come out in the 90s? And I enjoy this movie? And I'm like, oh, like this, it's all the, it checks all the boxes. Those are different graphical ways of, never mind. Anyway.
Yeah, but the thing is for as much as we talk 90s content, and Adam Sandler is a massive part of, you know, 90s comedy, I would say. Mm-hmm. I think it's pretty rare, Sarah, that we're talking about Adam Sandler. Like, I just don't think we've talked about a ton of Adam Sandler movies.
I don't know if we've talked about any Adam Sandler movies. I'm looking back into our repertoire, and I can't remember us doing that, which is kind of funny because Adam Sandler was definitely one of my favorite actors when I was growing up in the 90s and the 2000s. And there was just something about like sitting down and watching an Adam Sandler movie and laughing, whether it be Big Daddy or Billy Madison, or even if you had a bad day and you're watching Little Nicky, like there is just like something to be said about Adam Sandler. And of course, like as the little Jewish girl that I was, with Adam Sandler being like one of the Jewish celebrities I knew about, crushes galore, right? At least for me.
Yeah, that's really fair, MGC. There's something about Adam Sandler's comedy that I feel like him being big in the 90s, early aughts, when we were kind of like kids, tweens, teens, it's like that comedy really hit home for me. It was like stupidly funny. And I can't tell you, like Big Daddy was probably my Adam Sandler movie of choice. I feel like I watched that more than I watched anything else. But Wedding Singer is one of, I don't think it's my favorite Adam Sandler rom-com, but probably second or third on the list for me.
Oh, wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. Interesting. So it's funny how like this was, like this felt like a departure from Adam Sandler, just because the movies before this that he did, you know, Billy Madison, Happy Gilmore, The Waterboy, like this is like a very different Adam Sandler, which like he is able to do really well and is able to do in future movies, like, you know, Punch Drunk Love and Spanglish, and he can play like a kind of a like an everyman, as opposed to like these like wacky characters he played in the early 90s. And what's interesting is like, I agree that he's like one of like the kings of the 90s movies. Another king of the 90s that like I'm trying to rack my brain, and have you guys done a Jim Carrey movie? Like, he was another like king of the 90s. I feel like
we did the Truman Show.
Okay. We did the Truman Show, but we haven't done a ton of his other stuff, like, which comedies. I would agree. Although, there's something to be said about, like, I think Jim Carrey probably ages a bit worse than Adam Sandler, but they're probably about
you
on the
think
same.
So?
They're about the same. Oh, yes. I'd say, like, I could think of so many things from like Ace Ventura that I'd be like, this is bad. This is so bad.
I don't watch Ace Ventura. I don't sign into this. But like, I was like watching some of like, I don't know, some of like the jokes that used to hit for me in this movie. And I was like, oh, like, I don't know about this. But I think it's interesting because for me anyway, I think that Adam Sandler's more heartfelt works work better for me. So like some of my favorites were The Wedding Singer, 50 First Dates. I liked Click. I thought Click was a great movie. I, of course, liked Big Daddy. And I like those a lot more than his. Well, obviously, I would like, what am I going to do with a sports movie? I don't watch sport movie. So, like, I kind of always liked his more, like, heartfelt movies a lot better. And maybe that's just because, like, I'm, like, I don't know. I'm more of, like, a girly girl or typical, like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to sit here and watch The Waterboy. I'm sure I've seen it, but I don't want to watch
The Waterboy.
I don't want to watch golf. I just want to watch like him take care of a little kid, a little Cole Sprouse. That's
well,
what
I
want.
I think the magic of this movie and what comes after it, Sarah, you mentioned 50 First Dates. I think that honestly might be my favorite Adam Sandler movie, like full stop. I love 50 First Dates.
So this isn't even your favorite Sandler Barrymore.
It isn't. However, I think a lot of the magic of this movie is in their chemistry, is in them bouncing off of each other. I don't think this movie is anywhere near as good if not for the chemistry between them. And so getting to see them come back and do 50 First Dates is like so magical when you know they have this chemistry from way back when, much different hairstyles, you know, like.
Did you watch Blended? Blended's another Adam.
That's like completing the trilogy.
Yeah, they have this joke that like they can only do a movie together every 10 years. So
I mean, it's not a bad thing. Like I think it's like you're not overdoing it in that case. You know, no one's gonna get tired of that couple.
Yeah,
I will say that this is by far, like by far, my favorite Drew Barrymore.
Really?
Interesting.
Yeah. Okay. So,
I don't think it's like, pretty really close.
Thank you for bringing that up, because we absolutely shoehorned in a Drew Barrymore themed month, because the second movie that we're covering this month is Never Been Kissed.
Nice.
Which is very much like a, I don't know, like I, it's that is talking about a movie that probably doesn't track for the future, but like it totally when I was a teen and I loved that movie. But I loved Drew Barrymore. Like, I think that the movie Ever After, which, like, Jess, we've never talked about Ever After, but that was one of my favorite movies. MGC, have you ever seen that?
I have not seen Ever After.
Oh, you gotta watch Ever After. It's like Cinderella, but, like, turned on its head a little bit. That's a 90s movie. She was also in – what else? What else did we – did I like of hers
from the 90s? Yeah, right. She's like a little baby child in E.T. Oh, yeah. That's where like she first kind of like makes her debut, right? Was she's just a teeny little kid.
She was Home Fries, I think. She was in that one.
Yes, I do remember she was pregnant in that movie.
She's one of the angels in Charlie's Angels.
Yeah, she's an angel.
In Fever Pitch.
No, thank you.
Now, here's my question for Sarah. Jesse, you can sit out this question.
Yeah, bye.
happy to.
Sarah, have you seen the stage musical version of the
Yes, I have, actually. I was going to bring that up. Thank you. So I saw it on Broadway back in the day
with Constantine or no?
No, I think I saw it with Stephen Lynch. I saw it early on in the...
He created it for roles, so that's fine.
Yeah, I think I've like seen it early on, or maybe I don't know when I saw it, but I definitely saw it, and I remember I had this like baby blue shirt that had like the wedding singer on it. That was the softest t-shirt I ever owned. I really liked that shirt. I don't know where it went, but I hope somebody out there is enjoying it. But yeah, of course, I saw it. They made it into a theater musical adaptation. Mm-hmm. And I was even looking today online for, we call them slime tutorials around these parts.
Yep.
I don't know if I found like an Authentica slime tutorial. I kind of found like a slime tutorial that you would learn in high school how to do.
Yeah.
Or maybe college.
Yeah, so I never saw it on the Great White Way, if you will. I've seen a couple of productions that my friends have been in. And so I saw one years ago, and then I saw another one last year that my friends were in. And the music is like, the music's great in the...
Do they adapt the two songs from this one? That's great. Because I honestly think both of the songs in this, I'm talking like the two that Adam Sandler like sings, right? Not the covers of other ones that
Growing Old with You and what the one where he's
and somebody, like,
somebody
kill me,
please. Yeah.
Jess, you would like the song that is the note from Linda in that musical. It's very funny.
Okay. I believe it, because when I was back in the day, before I had an iPod, I had an MP3 player, and it was very small, and it could only hold like 40 songs, okay? So that is, I'm just telling you the stakes, right? The stakes are very high. There's only 40 songs available.
Yeah.
Grow Old With You was on my MP3 player. That is how much I loved. I just think the messaging
is so
sweet.
From LimeWire?
Yes, or Frostwire, one of the
two. You're downloading it. The opening song to the Wedding Singer show, It's Your Wedding Day, is a bop. It's your wedding day and the music starts to play.
Yeah, this is Sarah's new thing. She sings on every podcast we do lately.
No, I need to stop.
People love it. I think you should keep doing it.
You know who is the original Julia is Laura Benanti, who.
Yes, I think I saw Laura Benanti. I'm not positive. I don't save my playbills, but I should have. But it was also something that you should have done when you first go to see. Like, you can't be like 34 years old and be like, I'm going to start saving my playbills. Of course, I moved across the country, so I don't even have access to Broadway anymore. But whatever, we could have done it. I mean, like, I don't know.
Can I admit that this is a safe place?
Yeah.
The first time I saw Hamilton on Broadway, I left the playbill on the subway accidentally.
Oh, MJC.
Brutal. So I had so I ordered one on eBay.
Oh my, MJC.
And you're like, this is mine. I saw this.
I'm living a lie, ladies.
You are living a lie.
Cut that out.
With the original cast.
Yes, original cast.
Yeah, actually, I might have.
The only one I didn't see was Jonathan Groff had already moved on, and Philippa Sue had her stage stunt double.
Understudy.
Thank you.
I had to just tell you a theater word, MJC. This is bad. This is the darkest timeline.
No, so like I saw it with the original cast, but Leslie.
Oh no!
Was I got his stunt double?
His stunt double.
I got his stunt double that day, which like at first I was like, sweet, like I got like Lin-Manuel Miranda. Like who cares about like this other? I was like, no, you stupid fuck.
Like, he played what? Well, who missed him?
Huh?
Who did you? Who was swapped out? Who did you miss?
Amber.
That's like. I mean,
yeah, I'm a stupid fuck. Her. What can I say? Yeah. Anyway, let's get back to the Wedding Singer.
Yes, let's talk about the Wedding Singer. Aired 1998 is when this movie came out. And like we said, this is just the beginning of the Adam Sandler, Drew Barrymore rom-com saga. But it's really one of the greats. I do think there's like a ton of stuff in here that obviously doesn't age well. And it's very silly because I feel like this happens to us all the time where we're talking about a 90s movie, but that 90s movie takes place in like the era before it or like, you know, so we're in the 80s, but obviously the movie aired in the 90s. And it's all about Julia and Robbie and them falling in love. And I gotta say, I mean, this fits the timeline of like a perfect rom-com. You know what I mean? Where they meet, they become friends. They're both with other people. They slowly fall in love. It like takes them a second to kind of realize that. Like and I know people get bored. This is like, I feel like in the era of like the early aughts when it's like, I don't want to go see a chick flick with my girlfriend. I know exactly what's going to happen. It's like, you know what, Sarah? There is something to be said about watching a movie where you kind of know what's going to happen because it's so relaxing.
Yeah, the thing about a stereotypical rom-com is that it always like fits the format. Like you have your meet cute, you have falling in love, then something happens where it's like, oh, they are not going to be together, and then there's a coming together, and then it's a happily ever after. And there is something so comforting about that rom-com format where you can just like watch it. Like I don't have to think that hard. I tried to watch Maestro and I felt like I had to have a PhD to understand what happened in that movie. But guess what? In The Wedding Singer, I was floating on air.
One of my favorite movie-going experiences last year was when I saw No Hard Feelings, the Jennifer Lawrence movie. And like that's another one where you like go into it like, all right, like you can map it out. Like you know what's gonna happen. You know like the beginning, middle, and end. Like you know when you can like leave to get a refill of popcorn.
Go to the bathroom.
But then there's something to the formula that like it's a great formula and it works well. And when the script is good, when the soundtrack to this movie is tremendous.
Oh, gorgeous.
And the cast is great. Yeah. Like it's something that you can watch over and over again and really enjoy.
Yeah. And I did.
Yeah, let's talk about the cast because we already talked a little bit about Adam Sandler, Drew Barrymore both being in this, but of course it's an Adam Sandler movie, which means we're gonna get our Adam Sandler staples.
Yes.
They all make an appearance. I really love why am I blanking? See, now I'm doing the thing where I blank on his name.
Alan Covert.
No. Steve. Yes. Thank you. Steve Buscemi. He's the worst, right? Like, he comes into the wedding. He's giving a terrible best man speech because he has, like, family issues with his dad and his brother. And, like, this is what I love about how we knew Robbie was, like, a great guy immediately, was he was like, okay, bro, like, he's the wedding singer. Like, he's not paid to be, like, security, you know? But he wants them to have a lovely wedding day. He even gives a speech. Like, I think that they do such a good job in this movie at, like, showing why he is, like, a very highly coveted wedding singer in this town that he lives in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. I think that, like, one of my favorite things about Robbie and Adam Sandler is, like, how lovable he is. Like, he's mm-hmm. a good guy. You want to root for him. You feel bad for him when he gets stood up. And you, like, root for the fact that, like, you just want him to be happy. And I really love rooting for our main characters. Like, I'm thinking back to another movie that the three of us covered in You've Got Mail. Like, just had, like, an aneurysm over Tom Hanks the entire movie.
Oh,
and
terrible.
He's the one that we're supposed to root for. So to have somebody like Robbie Hart, who, I mean, like, his name is perfect. He has, like, so much heart. He loves love, just like me and MJC. He just wants to have, like, he wants to get married. He wants to, like, make other people happy. And you just, like, love to root for him. And his little wedding singer band is so endearing because you got George, who only knows one song. And it's so funny. Because the bit just goes on and on. Mm-hmm. I love it.
It's great. It's great, really. Yeah, it's a perfect it's a perfect little role for Steve Buscemi. I love that he comes back and is the wedding singer at Robbie's wedding, Robbie and Julia's wedding. That's a fun Easter egg.
Yeah, even he got a win, right? Like, I'm absolutely so happy.
Yeah. He cleaned up. He cleaned up. He made Pop happy.
So glad that Pop's
happy. No lessons, thanks a lot, Pop.
And we also have Christine Taylor, who I feel like I
love her in this.
Yeah, I feel like I remember her most from the Brady Bunch movie. Like, her being Marsha, like, for my childhood, that was just, like, that was who she was. Obviously, she's also in, like, Dodgeball, Zoolander, and on and on and on and on.
So, from my childhood, I remember her from Hey Dude, which is the
name show. Hey Dude.
She's great in this as, like, you know, the 80s, like, wants to be Madonna, the
outfits are incredible.
Yeah,
she's great. And I'm glad that it seems that things have worked out between her and Ben Stiller after they separated.
Yes.
We talked about Christine Taylor earlier this year when we covered The Craft, Jess. She played the mean blonde girl that lost her hair.
I forgot about that. Yeah, she always, I mean, listen, when you're as beautiful and blonde as Christine Taylor, you're bound to be playing some real bitches out there, you know? Like, I just think you're going to get typecast in that way. But
I wish I was pretty enough to be cast as a mean blonde. Maybe that's goals. Something that I should aspire to.
Life goals. What aspirations you have, Sarah. But I really love her character because, like, she is a really good friend to Julia. And I like that we have the moment where Julia is starting to realize that, like, oh, I might actually have feelings for Robbie, seeing her and Robbie together, like, it's uncomfortable for me. And I was talking to my husband Will about this earlier because he watched the movie with me, and we were saying how refreshing it was to have a villain that you truly can just loathe. Like, there's nothing redeeming about Glenn. He's the absolute worst. And I know, listen, I love a multifaceted character, love three-dimensional characters, whether you love them and you hate them and blah blah blah, blah, right? Love it, love it, love it. However, like we said with a rom-com where it's kind of predictable and there's something comforting about that. There's also something comforting about having a terrible, terrible, terrible human that you could just be like, you know what, Glenn, go fucking shove it. Like, you are the worst. I hate him. I hate him so much.
He sucks.
I mean, so we meet him right away and he So, like, what we learn from Julia is that she's been engaged for 3 years. She can't get him to commit to a date. And then when he finally is proposing to get married, he wants to just run off to Vegas. And throughout the movie, we find out that he's cheating on her and that he's just marrying her because she, quote unquote, paid her dues and it's been long enough. It's like, yeah, like big thumbs down. Exactly. And he's just like a total.
Sorry, this is an audio medium.
He's just like a big skeez bag. And like, and I mean, like Julia's in a very interesting position that like I find a lot of women, myself included, find themselves as, where they've been in a relationship for a really long time. In their eyes, they're getting older. The right thing to do is like commit to the person, stay in a relationship, get married, like, and also it's like, well, you're engaged, like you got that check. Like, I mean, like breaking off an engagement if you're not in love with the person seems really, really scary. So I don't blame Julia for being in this position because, you know, he, even though he's a skeez bag, he will provide a quote unquote stable life. And it seems as though Julia, like, from what we learn from her mother, who is, ugh, talk about typecasting, like this is Monica and Ross Geller's mom, who is so Christina similar. Pickles. So yeah. Similar, where she's like, well, you know, like he like marry for money, like, you know, be like a good wife. You know, pretend, the advice she gives is pretend that you're pregnant so that he has to commit.
Oh, like, my God, so messed up.
So it's like, I can just see like the pressure that her mom puts on her to be in a relationship that is like this. And I can see why Julia is 3 years into an engagement, not who knows how long they were dating prior to that, and is feeling really stuck.
Yeah, it's very much the sunk cost fallacy, right? Of like, how much I've already put into this relationship, I might as well stay in it. And something that I didn't really realize until this watch through was that Julia moved to be with Glenn. Like, that is massive.
Where did she move to? I think I missed that, actually.
I think she just says, I moved here to be closer to him. Oh, like, that's, yeah, that's all she says. She doesn't say, like, details. So they were
long distance, and then what, she moved to New Jersey to be with them?
I guess so. And the question I also have, though, is, like, what was she doing for work before she moved? Like, did she give up some sort of career to move to be closer to him and become like a cater waitress or of sorts, right? Like, I don't, maybe she was a waitress where she was before, but I'm just saying, like, she has given up a lot to be with Glenn. And I think she's, I mean, MJC, this is like a tale as old as time, right? Of like someone who's settling for someone who's certainly not good enough for them, you know? Yes. It's like very much Pam and Jim and Roy before The Office came out. You know what I mean? Like, this is the early stages of that, basically.
Sure. It's like, it's a character type where you like want to like shout at the screen, like, are you not like seeing how much of a creep this person is that you're with?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Going on in your head right now.
Yeah, so that's really interesting. I didn't catch that, Jess, that like, and it makes a lot of sense. And it also makes sense, like, why Glenn had like full reign, essentially, to like do whatever the fuck that he wanted.
Well, you have to imagine how much he cheated before she, like, when they were long distance. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. Because he said, I think that he does also live in New Jersey and, or Long Island. I think it's Jersey, or is it Long Island? Who the fuck knows? It's one of those. But he works in the city.
You're just such a Midwest girly now. You're just like,
I'm such a Midwest
girly. Yeah. I understand the difference between New York and New Jersey anymore.
No, that was so funny. Like, I like encountered somebody the other day and I said I was from New Jersey and they were like, oh, is that like on the coast? Is it like near New York? And I was like,
I didn't know.
No, because just like the majority of the country, I don't think can pick off like Jersey on a map. Like, we are just very, I mean, to be honest with you, before now, I like, if somebody a year ago was like, Sarah, pinpoint Missouri on a map, I don't think I would have been able to find it.
Well, at least Jersey is like coastal.
You wouldn't have been able to show me The show me
state. I would have been able to show the show me state would be the no show state. Exactly. That was a good one, MJC.
Thank you. That's why you invited me on four times.
Wait, are you a four-time guest? Is that
I am a four-timer, I believe.
Oh, where's the hat? We gotta get the hat for next time.
One more. You have until I'm on next time to get that.
Okay. To make hats.
I did like when Jess was introducing me and she was saying like, oh, and I think he's like top five, and I was thinking you were gonna say like guest overall. Yeah,
I thought that, like, that's what you're gonna say too,
like lover of love. And I'm like,
yeah,
okay.
I thought that you were gonna say that too, Jess, and it was like a total like fucking dick tease, to be honest with you.
I didn't know that was expected to say. I was saying a nice thing. I thought
you were like top five. Was that NBC?
He is a top five guest. I mean, I don't do the math, but I assume yes, you've probably been on it. Like you're in the top 5% of the people who have guested multiple times.
No, right?
What do you? Jessica, are you having an aneurysm? MJC wants to be told that he's the best. You are the best.
Are you having? Are you losing it? Like,
I mean, a little bit, yeah.
Anyway,
save big on brunch for mom. All in the Kroger app. Buy one get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more. All with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, other people in this that the John Lovitz as the rival wedding singer.
Such a funny cameo.
So funny. Especially, okay, there's something that will haunt my nightmares about the moment he's standing and he's watching and the curtain just slowly closes over his face. Like, I don't know. That man is going to give me all the rewards.
MJC, are you a rat race girly?
No.
Oh.
No,
not at all.
It missed me. There's like no like derision to that, but like I never rat raced.
Oh, you never rat raced. That was my first DVD I ever owned, was Rat Race.
Seth Green is that too, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm. You gotta watch Rat Race if you haven't seen Rat Race.
Oh, I'll put it on my list.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not on the top of my list, but like it's on the list, I guess.
Right after you watch Oppenheimer, you can watch Rat Race. It's on the same caliber. Jess, were you brokenhearted when Robbie got left at the altar from Linda?
Yeah. I think it's brutal. Like, I feel for the guy because Linda sucks, right? Like she is nowhere near as good enough for him, in my opinion. But also the embarrassment of being up in front of your family and friends. And then you're someone who you're supposed to spend the rest of your life with, who we know Robbie loves very dearly, based on like the speeches he gives. It really sucks and it's really tragic, and he certainly doesn't deserve that. No one really does, unless they're like a total a-hole.
Yeah. Can I tell you my Mandela effect with this movie?
Oh yeah.
Up until I watched it again this afternoon in preparation for this podcast. This is you're gonna like this one, Jess, is that I thought that the actress who played Linda was Juliette Lewis.
Oh, really?
I always associated Juliette Lewis with this part.
I can kind of see that, though. I can kind of see it. Like, the vibes are similar, I would say. Like, she's kind of like this, like, little bit rough, you know, kind of gruff.
And so when I was looking at the cast today, like, I was like, oh, that's someone who I don't know that is. That's not Juliette Lewis.
Yeah.
I think it's more so not the first scene she's in with like where she's like talking to Robbie on the stoop, but the one where she's like she comes back, she's like in the Van Halen t-shirt, she's like talking to Julia when she comes. Like that to me was very like Juliette Lewis. That's where I made the connection, I guess. But I mean, yeah. I would have bet money before this afternoon that she was in this movie, but she's not.
That's really funny. Yeah, she plays like, gosh, her character. That's the thing. Again, we love to hate her too. Like, mm-hmm. she sucks, which makes it so easy to root for Julia and Robbie, even without their like undeniable chemistry. Like, mm-hmm. to me, it's not even just obviously Robbie and Julia, but like Drew Barrymore and Adam Sandler, I feel like their humor works so well together. Sarah, I'm thinking of the scene where Robbie is helping Julia get like things lined up. So a florist and cake, mm-hmm. and all this other stuff, right? He's helping her plan the wedding because Glenn is like, oh, I think you would love to do that by yourself. Like, I'm not gonna help. Robbie is helping Julia because, and I, this makes sense, logical sense. He knows all of like the best wedding venues and like, you know, how to get the best discounts and everything in town. And I love when they go, and I don't know what even they're getting a discount on, but she's like, oh, I just know you guys are going to be together forever. And they're like, actually, we're siblings. And then they start like play fighting. And to me, like, you know my stance, Sarah. I am very much a friends first type of girl. Like, friends first, and then you could date. And this to me is that friends first moment where it's like, oh, there's a little hint, a little flirtiness there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's really fun to watch their dynamic evolve throughout it. And I definitely was thinking about that, like, friends first to lovers. Once again, it's a trope, but it works so well. And I don't know, like, the love is just so sweet when it is friends first, because mm-hmm. there's like a level of comfort and foundation that you get mm-hmm. that is so different than like when you're just like finding somebody on the apps and like dating to be with them. But I mean, I don't knock any sort of love. That would be terrible for Valentine's Day.
Yeah. I think it's mostly just like the comfort level, right? Like, you can tell MJC that they have such a comfort with each other.
Absolutely.
And they're able to lean on each other, and they have like that undeniable friendly chemistry. Like, I love when she, what is he does something to her and then she bites. It looked like it hurt. I love that scene so much.
Just a little biteys.
Just a little bit of biteys.
Do we think that Holly and Sammy get together at the end of the movie?
Do we think that Holly is Julia's cousin?
Me too.
Yes. And Robbie. Sammy is like
the limo driver. Robbie's
the limo driver.
I think so. I feel like they're both just messy enough for that to work.
I ship it. I'm here for those two. Those crazy kids.
I see it definitely.
They were cones.
I do love when they make him do the test drive, even though she's like, he's the only limo driver in town. Like, obviously I'm gonna hire him. And he's like, shh, just let him do it.
But I again, just like you're talking about the the scene where they're play fighting. But then there's also like the scene of the engagement party where they're like teasing him about how before he knew that Julia was engaged, he was telling Robbie that, oh, she's gonna get it and I'm gonna give it to her. And the two of them like play off really well. Like, they're like teasing Sammy as he's like walking away mm-hmm. about, you know, they're very cute together.
Yeah, they're just fun. And I think that's what, like, I don't know. I don't always need a very complicated story when I'm watching movies and television. Sometimes it's fun for it to be a little more straightforward of like, yeah, they enjoy each other's company. They're a little bit stuck with some of the current relationships that they're in, but we know it's not going to last. Yeah. There's literally, I'm so sorry, but like, and I didn't change my last name when I got married, but like, there's no way in hell I would be like, yeah, I'm going to be Julia Gulia.
It is so funny.
It's the perfect like little note of this movie for her to be, because Gulia, that's not a name. Gulia?
It's Italian. Has to be.
It's not goulash. It's
Gulia.
So if you were Lafferty Sterling, then
you... Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I mean, listen, I kept my last name anyway, so it didn't, ultimately I think it's your choice, whatever you do with your last name, if and when you get married. But like, Julia Guglia is just so bad, especially like Sarah said earlier, as compared to when she's in the mirror. And I love this moment. She's like, she's getting dressed for her, you know, putting on her wedding dress and practicing in the mirror. And she goes, and she starts smiling immediately when she goes, Julia Hart. Mm. And it's just like so sweet. And like, oh,
it is a lovely name.
I love it so much.
It is. It is very much. What are, like, I'm taking over this podcast. What are some songs that when you hear them, you like think of like, oh, the wedding singer.
Do you really want to?
Yep. That's one. That's one.
Obviously,
you spin me right round.
Right round one.
Yeah, that one. And then obviously like Grow Old With You, but that's part of.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
That's like a cheating one. Yeah. What songs do you think of?
Like Pass the Duchy, I think of.
Oh yeah, Pass the Duchy.
I think of what, and I hear You Make My Dreams.
I love that one. Oh, what's the one that the old lady sings?
Till There Was You.
Yes. First of all, I need to pull up this actress's name because she is in a lot of things. She was in Wedding Crashers as well, and she plays like the grandma in she's really funny. And she cracks me up so much in this movie. When she's like making him meatballs in exchange for voice lessons, and she doesn't have Tupperware, and she's like, just put out your hands.
All right, before you look it up, how old did that actress, Ellen Albertini Dow, how old did she live to? She's no longer with us, unfortunately. How old did she live to?
99.
I'll say 101.
It was 101 years old.
Wow. I mean, I knew she was in Wedding Crashers, which is like, I mean, at least maybe like 5-10 years after this.
Yeah.
And she looks pretty old in both of them. No offense to her. Like, she's certainly up there in both of them. But I love her. I think she's such a... That's what I think. Like, this movie not only has great main characters, but all of the side characters around them are also so fun that like it's so hard to not root for them, you know?
Would you get paid? Would you accept being paid in meatballs?
It depends on how much work and how good the meatballs are.
They looked pretty good.
They were huge. I'm kind of a bigger fan of like the smaller meatball.
Have you guys done Sister Act for the podcast?
No, not yet.
I haven't ever seen Sister Act.
That's a great 90s movie. All right, but add it to the list. Because this actress was like a nun in Sister Act as well.
Oh, did she?
Oh, interesting.
Wiki page right now.
No meatballs.
No meatballs. What about speaking of cameos, Kevin Nealon as the guy who's interviewing Robbie?
Oh, I like money. This is why I'm qualified for this bank teller job or this bank job. I love money. I don't have a lot of money, but in the future I would like more. Mm-hmm. Perfect. You're hired. And then he was like, wait, if you're not gonna hire me, can I at least have one business card? I'll give you 10 free singing lessons for one business card.
It just points.
This so is funny. Why he has no money, because he's getting paid in meatballs. And
I mean, but that's the thing. He has heart, right? Like, I think every little thing that we see Robbie do just proves how much he just cares about people. Yeah. Like, he takes this teenage kid at the wedding outside to throw up in a dumpster so that the kid doesn't like embarrass himself in front of his family. Like, that's a person who cares, you know? I just love that about him. And Julia is very obviously someone who also cares a lot about people and how they feel. She's willing to concede on a lot of things. Obviously, like, she's heartbroken when she sees Robbie, and she thinks that Linda and Robbie have gotten back together, and she like finally agrees to this like Las Vegas wedding, right? Like, she's willing to give up a lot for people. And I feel like her and Robbie are very similar in that way. I would love to go on a double date with Robbie and Julia. I feel like they would be so much fun on a double date.
Yeah. And there is a double date in this movie.
Oh my God. Oh
yeah. You want to talk about the double date?
Yes. Okay.
How in the world did they go to a double date at like a raging club? Like, what? So, yeah. So, basically, Julia and Glenn go on a double date with Holly and Robbie. And it's kind of like the date from hell. Like, Julia gets very drunk very quickly and has a little bit of the case of the pukies. And then, meanwhile, while Holly and Julia are trying to, like, figure out the situation in the bathroom, that's when we find out that Glenn is a cheating ass. And Robbie does something very, very smart where he kind of, like, baits him into admitting that he's a cheater. But then he doesn't utilize that information right away, which
I kind of find interesting. I mean, Sarah, we talk about this a lot on the podcast because, I mean, it came up recently on Felicity, like, and I want to hear MJC's opinion on this. Like, if you find this information out, if you're Robbie and you find this out, are you telling Julia? If so, how are you telling her this?
It's tough because she's like the wedding's in like 5 days, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's
like,
coming up.
I don't know. Maybe you write a letter during the
short an anonymous letter.
Leave it on her pillow.
Oh my god.
You know what?
I think this is a situation where like he has to say something.
What does he have to
Glenn? Like, they're not bros, you know. Not even if like they were bros, like you kind of, I don't know. Like, it's,
I think it's more he's nervous about like the kill the messenger sort of thing. But what if you tell Holly and get Holly to tell Julia?
Yeah, that's a good call.
Or like drop hints to
that's
Holly
because like they're because they're know? Family. You know what I mean? Like, that's not, like, there's nothing that's going to be, like, underlying there.
Right.
Yeah. But I think he does try to, like, do that with Holly. And then Holly's just like, oh, you like her. Like, that has to be.
Yeah. That's true. Like, he did try to bring it up. And, like, that just, like, kind of unraveled stuff. And then... Like, remind me of the order of the operations here, because they go on the double date.
Parentheses, exponents, multiplication, and division. I'm sorry.
They go on the double date. And then is that when Robbie goes to Julia's house and then tries to talk to her and then, like, sees that in the window she's in the wedding dress and looks happy? Is maybe
no,
that
No, I think there's – I think in between – like, isn't there – like, doesn't Glenn, like, hit him at the bar before then?
Yeah. So, basically, like, Julia is starting to realize that she has feelings for Robbie and vice versa. They have that, like, kiss, which was, like, such a good kiss. The church kiss with tongue.
Church tongue.
10 out of 10.
Mrs. Geller. It's the mom who has to, like, say,
yeah, she tells her mom that... Yeah, she tells her mom that she's probably falling out of love in love with Glenn, and she doesn't want to be Mrs. Julia Gulia. And that's when Robbie, like, sees her through the window in her outfit, and he thinks she's, like, she's, like, excited for her wedding, but instead she's, like, Mrs. Robbie Hart. Like, she's, like, you know.
But was Robbie going to Julia's house to tell her that he loved her or to tell her that – Glenn's a cheater or both?
I think he was gonna shoot a shot.
Yeah, because that whole thing happens before he goes and gets, because right after he goes and gets drunk, and that's when he runs into Glenn and he gets beat up and everything. And that's when he, like, you know, he's in a really precarious position because he's drunk and he's vulnerable, and that's when Linda shows up and comforts
him. I got
punched
in the mouth. I'm sticking my nose in other people's business.
I like there was, like, with I really like how Sammy even has, like, a really nice, like, character arc, even though he's, like, such a side character, because, like, we meet him and he's kind of like a dog, and then, like, by the end of it we find out that, like, you know, Robbie doesn't want to be like him. He shouldn't be a free agent because he's miserable and all he wants is someone to hold him.
Aww. It's so sweet.
Yes. So the old man in the bar I know that he had like a couple episodes in Growing Pains, but was he in Boy Meets World also? Am I making that up?
Was he the one that like got the fruit basket? Remember there was like somebody was at the bus stop and there was like the fruit basket with the mangoes and then like he got the mango basket.
You might be right. Like,
so happy.
Yeah, I mean it's been a minute. So but I think you're right. That sounds correct to me.
I forget who. Maybe it was I don't think it was
actually. I'm looking at his.
Oh,
his,
it's just Wiki another.
Right, we're just another old man.
All old men look the same.
A lot of old men. But yeah, we need to talk a little. Like, okay, I love the. Tell me, okay, I've gotten married, right? Like, I've done the.
Wow,
the
way kiss to flex, Jessica.
This is not flex.
Why are you dunking on us? Like, we're just trying to live our lives.
To be fair, Sarah, it was a COVID wedding.
Yeah, to be fair, there were like 10 people.
MJC,
there.
Were you there on the Zoom as well?
Sure was.
Oh my God.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't see any makeout kisses with
no, because Will. I am anti-PDA. We all know this. So I think I'm with Julia that like it has to be a respectable kiss. You're not, and like meanwhile, Holly is just like, no, tonsil hockey city, baby.
I want to basically fuck on that stage. I want everybody to see.
Why? Why do you want that?
To torment you.
What? Me? Just me? That's a lot for just me, you know? You're doing a lot for just me.
If I'm not making out while I'm in a wedding dress and everybody sees, then like, what are we even doing here? Mm-hmm. What do you think, MJC? Whose side are you on?
I'm okay with the I thought that the church tongue was very very classy.
Yeah.
Very
it is, it's classy. Exactly. Very it's demure. Very classy.
By the way, yes, that actor does play Bum in one episode of Boy Meets World.
There you Boom. Go. Nailed it.
Yep. Mango Man.
Mango Man.
I think it was Feeny's basket of mangoes. And I don't remember who stole the mango basket and why it was at the bus stop, but somebody did. And it was there.
Don't ask me because I don't know. Yeah. I just – and the way – again, this movie has the classic run to the airport, get on the plane, get your girl moment, right? Where he like ends up having to buy a first class ticket to Vegas.
Man, he doesn't runs buy into- it.
No,
Sammy did buy it.
That looked like the nicest first class ticket that ever existed. It looks so nice.
I mean, he also got to hang out with Billy Idol.
That's true. Was it Billy Idol or was it Prince or was it Elvis or what was the Donny Osmond or
oh my
that's,
gosh
that's a joke for people claim to who fame. Enjoyed Claim to Fame season 2.
That's right. Yes, that's right. I love this. I love that like the comeuppance is so strong in
what
this film.
Budget airline is bumping into people's elbows with the drink cart as they're going down the aisle.
I mean, listen, if you have your elbows out there, they're going to smash into them. I've definitely gotten hit with a flyby cart once.
The disparity between first class and coach on this airplane was alarming. And I've never flown first class, so this might be how it might be in real life. I'm not quite sure. I flew to Vegas and my seat was not like Robbie's. So we're on the plane.
You didn't meet an 80s rocker either.
I met nobody on the plane to Vegas, actually. I remember flying over to Vegas and I like saw that like, I mean, like I knew I was going to the desert, but like when I looked out the window and saw like literal sand, I was like, where the fuck am I?
What do you think of that theory about the Robbie said that like I should have seen the signs because she wouldn't give me the aisle seat over the Grand Canyon.
I agree.
Like, you get the at the end, Glenn doesn't let Julie have the aisle seat either.
I think that honestly,
the window, I should say.
It's more about like when you're in a true partnership, like you really want your partner to like live out all of their dreams. And I think it's the fact that like they both like asked and they both were denied, even though like they were saying like, this would be really important to me. Like, no, like, of course I don't want to be on, like, I am like a window seat girly, but if my partner was like, I would really like this, of course I'm going to give it to them because I love them. And I think it's like the sacrifice, like being in a relationship is definitely a, like, sometimes a push and a pull, and you sometimes have to give up things that you want for the other person. And I think like that's what it is. Like both Robbie and Julia experienced the fact that like their partner, it's not like an unconditional love. It's like very conditional, and they won't like be there for their partner. And I think that like for Julia to have that like realization on the plane, because she remembers that story, I thought it was like really like a nice little touch. And you know, and it also it's like Glenn did not say like, no, like you can't look out the window and like close the window. It's like Glenn was the king of doing just enough to keep her in, right? Like he was like, you can lean over me. And it's like, it's not, it was not like a perfect match, but he like just did enough to like just keep her there. You know what I mean?
I do.
Yeah. I think for me, it's like very much, it's courteousness. It's like a bare minimum of courteousness that like both Linda and Glenn are just missing. Like, again, if you've both flown before, you've both traveled to the same places and seen the same things, it's not a big deal. But if this is like this guy's first time on a plane, give him the freaking window seat. Like, be kind. That's all it is. And I just think like Glenn and Linda are just missing the kindness bone in their body. Yeah. And Robbie and Julia are so overly kind and overly giving, which obviously leads to them being a little bit like, you know, manipulated and used a lot of the time, which sucks. But it's like, obviously we get what we want and they end up together, so it's okay.
Can I say one mean thing?
Do it.
Julia's haircut is like so ugly.
I don't know why I knew that's what that was gonna be. And I think it's because it, for me, listen, I think it's because it flips out at the ends. You know, if it was just a blunt straight bob, I don't think it's as bad. But I truly think Drew Barrymore's hair never looked better than it did in 50 First Dates.
And yeah, it was like such beach waves. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
But this hair is atrocious.
Stop. It's not that. It's not worse than Robbie's. Robbie has a literal mullet.
Like, I don't know. Robbie's hair doesn't bother me, but Julia's hair is like pretty ugly. That's probably why she never got married.
No, don't be like her mom. Terrible.
I mean, MJC, would you get with her with that haircut?
the Julia's haircut did not bother me.
Okay.
I don't think it's that bad. Like, I don't know. I don't have a list of like, let's see, Drew Barrymore haircuts. I'm just curious to see if it's the worst one she's ever had. It probably is. Oh no, I found a worse one. It took me 2 seconds. Looks like she had her hair, this looks like a 90s based on the fact that her eyebrows look like tiny sperms and her lips are a dark vampy red. She had a very, very short haircut. Oh, yeah. That actually reminds me of when Phoebe cut Monica's hair incorrectly in Friends. It kind of reminds me of that. That I don't think is her best look. I really like her with the long wavy hair. I think it's a perfect look for her.
Yeah, I like her hair now. She looks good as a brunette. Like,
I guess the auburny brunette color is nice for her.
What she's doing right now. Yeah, she went to the Grammys, she said. I saw a clip of her on TikTok.
Yeah.
I know we were mad at Drew Barrymore for a little bit because of the writer's strike. She's a scab. But I love forgiving and forgetting. And I think that like Drew Barrymore, it's okay. It's okay that you're a scab. Just don't do it again.
Just don't do it again.
Don't do it again. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anything else about this movie that we love? We talked about the soundtrack. I agree. I love. Oh, Mona May did the costume design on this. And Mona May is one of my favorite costume designers. Mm.
We've talked about her before.
Yes, we did. She did Clueless and she did Romy and Michelle's High School Reunion. So,
oh my God. Do you know what's so funny that you say that? Because in one of the scenes, and it might have been the double date scene with Holly, where something in my brain suddenly screamed Romy and Michelle.
Yeah.
And because of the costuming. That's incredible.
Yes. Yeah. I love all movies that Mona May has done in terms of costume design. It's always so good. And it's just like, it was so nice seeing her name pop up in the credits. I was like, Mona May. I was so happy.
I agree. I think the outfits are on point.
I think the one thing that I can do without with the movie is, and I know that it was, sorry, I'm very emotional about this.
It's okay, MJC. It's okay.
I know
to
this
be
was
mean.
Like of a time. Uh-huh. And like maybe like in the 90s, we like enjoyed this more than we do now. The rapping granny I can do without.
Oh, really?
Yes.
You know what? Okay, so talking about like things that we could do without, like,
yes.
I feel as though the George stuff like doesn't really hit. It doesn't like really... It doesn't.
It feels like we're making fun of George versus like though? Laughing like, with. Well, yeah, because George. Okay, there's a few moments. Let's be real. George should not be singing the same song over and over again. And so
no, I like that. I don't have a problem with
sing that song at a wedding. But like, there's a moment where like Julia is asking for Robbie's help with the wedding planning. And Robbie's like, oh, you don't want George's help? And Julia's like, ha, 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 of course not.
Oh, yeah,
and it's
that's fair.
I do think that we celebrate George, but I also think that we're supposed to be laughing at George for, I mean, like, Alexis Arquette is a trans woman, or was a trans woman. She actually passed away. I'm pretty positive. She
did.
And I think that, like, she became, like, a laughing point of the movie, which I don't think that
I think though that she did provide some comedy as well, where
but were we
I don't think so, because at that first wedding when she finishes the Culture Club song and like Robbie's still not back on stage, and like she kind of looks at the band and goes, Go. That makes me laugh. That's funny.
No, I didn't have a problem with.
I think the musical stuff is all fine.
No, yes. That's fine. It was more so like pointing at the fact that like she was weird. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, listen, also that song that George is singing at the wedding is so not a wedding song. Like, don't sing, do you really want to?
I think it was beautiful, to be honest with you.
At a wedding?
Did you see George playing that clarinet? George was raging.
What did you think of Robbie's solution of I can't do weddings anymore because they're so like they make me sad, but I can do bar mitzvahs.
I mean, to be honest with you, I think that is a genius decision. The bar mitzvah game is like a $1 billion business. I think that I didn't have a wedding singer. I had a DJ at my bat mitzvah, but I did have a Dumbledore on stilts. I did have that. I did.
Oh my gosh.
I would love to know where my mother, Robin Ferguson, found a Dumbledore on stilts. Like, how do you Google that? No, there was no, was there Google?
I mean, you lived close enough to the city, right? Like, there's a, you could get anything.
I'm going to ask my mom, where did she find Dumbledore and why was he on stilts?
Yeah, to be really tall, obviously. But the one thing I do love from the bar mitzvah scene is, like, again, I think the chemistry is there between Julian and Robbie, where he's like, oh, you should pick anybody that looks the coolest to, like, invite up for a dance. And he doesn't even tell her, like, go pick that kid, right?
Yes, he does.
Is the same kid.
Yes, he does.
Does he?
Yes, of course he does.
I missed that. But the point is, this is the kid who plays Brucey from Matilda, eats the cake.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, poor little Brucey. And when he grabs her butt, first of all, you need to ask consent, sir, but you are a child, so I'll forgive you. I thought it was so funny. Like, Drew Barrymore's face when the kid grabs her butt had me absolutely cracking up. And then everyone on the dance floor, like, grabbing people's butts. It's just, I don't know. It just is so silly and stupid.
I could have done without... Robbie had like placing the 13-year-old girl.
Oh, well, yeah, that's too far. We're going too far without that one. Yeah, yeah.
Do you guys still like when Adam Sandler does his like screamy voice?
Because yes,
you do.
I love it. I know. It's for me, it's a nostalgia thing, I think. I just love it. I love when he's just like, somebody kill me, please. No, like, it's just so good.
I liked that song, but I don't know.
Well, I mean, it's obviously MJC did a very good impression at the top of the pod. Like, it's pretty Big Daddy when he's like, what does he want? Like, he's like, I want.
Well, somebody get the kid a Happy Meal.
That's right. That's it. He's like, all right. Like, it's just, and I think what it is, it feels very relatable because sometimes you just want to scream like that, you know? Sarah,
yeah,
I don't know. I
have a problem with screaming. With screaming.
I don't, obviously. So yeah. You know.
Yeah.
But
I think that is a really fun movie. Still, I really enjoyed it. Like, I think that, I mean, Adam was watching it for the first time when we were watching it together, and I think that he was maybe a little bamboozled at parts. I think that he really didn't like the Rosie, and I don't know why. Maybe it's because like he was getting paid in meatballs, and like Adam likes cash money.
Adam doesn't like old people. The answer is so obvious as to why he hated that moment.
That's true.
Adam is also very, he loves the Music Man, and so anyone singing it not to his.
Rosie's trying her best. Listen, she's just trying to. You cannot tell me that when she says, so that my husband will know that I tried so hard on it. You cannot tell me that your heart didn't melt a little bit when she said that.
It melted me. I like Rosie. I have no problem with her. She wants to pay him meatballs, adorable, and he accepts. That's totally fine. I thought that her singing for her 50th anniversary was beautiful.
Yeah, she's trying her best.
Yeah.
Yeah. This movie is a treasure. I mean, some things don't age well, of course, like any movie from the 90s, but it's so pleasant. It is such an easy, feel-good rom-com that we just don't get many of nowadays. Right. And it makes my heart so happy. Mm. Yeah. What a great way to kick off rom-com Feb/Frisky Feb. MJC, do you have a vote on which name you like better?
Of course, like, I love rom-com Feb.
Yeah,
but
it's
classic. I feel like in the past, it's been like, no, we're not doing. You know what I mean? Like, it's been shut down.
We've been trying to cancel rom-com Feb for 4 years.
We've been trying to cancel it since it started, and you just can't. You have to keep going with the rom-com Feb.
Yeah. It doesn't work, but it works so well.
It does.
MGC, what have you been up to? Have you, besides being such a theater guru, like what are you doing on the mean streets of the internet these days?
I am definitely in my theater era. What am I doing on the internet? Jeez.
It's okay. Maybe that's a personal question.
Just did another podcast recently, didn't you?
I did. Yes. I was on the Movie Ladder podcast where I talked about The Other Guys, which is another movie that I love. And so it was fun to be able to do this twice in a week. So check that one out, the Movie Ladder with Zach and Fitzy. Jess has been a guest on there before. I told them that Sarah would be a great guest one day.
Hey. Maybe what I need to do
that's
is
JF. You got me. I need
a little bit of a
payment in meatballs.
You want to be my agent and get me on, please?
But yeah, I've been, you know, I I've been enjoying this season of The Challenge, the season of The Traitors, looking forward to the season of Survivor. Mm-hmm. I don't know, man, just work and theater stuff. Yeah. I have redeveloped, I've developed an appreciation for Instagram. And I think I'm on Instagram more than I'm on X now. And
that's probably healthy.
Definitely. It is. It's not so I love the reality TV community that I have built on X, and I enjoy like interacting with them very, very much, and it's great. But it's nice to like have a platform where on Insta where I'm like, oh, like most of the people in my stories like are my like theater friends. Like I can like do like more like IRL stuff with my Insta, and I don't know if that makes any sense, but it's nice to like nice have to a separation of like church and state with
I know with what you X mean and Insta. Must be nice to see like real people that you actually know and things I mean, that you it, actually
it,
care
it is,
about.
It is until like you see on someone's story where like, oh, like a bunch of my friends are like out at a restaurant right now and I guess my phone's broken and I'm accepting texts.
MJC,
right now.
I thought we were done with FOMO. Didn't we talk about this 2 years ago?
Oh, please. I've never. I will like be on my deathbed and looking at my still phone and like, oh, I guess like
you're not missing out on something. Are you gonna go to Chicago?
I cannot. I would love to, but I have a family wedding in April, so I'm already taking 2 days off of work for that.
And I'm not going. I don't know why.
My vacation time is sacred, so unfortunately can't just take like 3 days off in May as much as I would love to, but
yeah,
that's fair.
Not in the cards this time.
No, yeah. Jessica, what are you doing these days?
You could find me covering one season of a show at a time with Grace Leader over on Full Spoiler Recaps. That's still happening. And then True Detective is still True Detectiving. We have a couple more episodes over there. And beyond that, I'm here all day, every day, just talking about Felicity and Buffy. Two shows that I've really come to love and enjoy. Mm-hmm. Sarah, we talked about this. Like, we're kind of in our new era on Shit 90 shows where we're like starting two new shows. And I feel like for a little bit, it was a tough grieving process being done with like Boy Meets World and Dawson's Creek. You know, we had a little bit of a grieving moment. However, I think we're to the point now with Felicity and Buffy where I'm like full in on those shows. And I am so thrilled every single week to talk about them. So check those out if you haven't. They're silly. They're fun. They're not super serious. So if you're listening to this and you love the dynamic, I would say like the dynamic is like fairly, very similar on those podcasts. And they're just a really fun time. They're two teen shows, not to be taken too seriously. And I'm really enjoying those things. What about you, Sarah?
I mean, I'm doing the same thing that you're doing.
Same thing. Same.
Except I'm not doing True Detective and I'm not doing that other thing. Nice. Yeah.
One thing I was on recently that I forgot to plug, but I had such a fun time on, is I was on Slash Survivor a couple weeks ago with Gia and Matt Scott, and that was so much fun to just tip back too much tequila and talk loudly.
Let's go.
About one of my favorite Survivor episodes. Also, I want to put on the record, and again, this is an audio medium, so you don't, listening at home, like, don't know this, but for the two of you, and I couldn't wait till after this is over to say this, but I want to put on the record, this is a knockoff. It is a Max. It is not a Stanley that I've been
I do like that cup. I got, like, a fake Stanley at Five Below for $5.55.
Yeah.
Where did you get your, but yours is a lot prettier than mine. Where did you get your Max cup?
My Max was on Amazon. I got it.
Mm. So maybe I need to get.
So and I'm the only like woman in my 30s
wearing a fake Barbie hoodie. Like, it's, you know,
just, listen, I'm the only girl in my 30s that doesn't have a water bottle that like is my like you know therapeutic water bottle.
I'm sorry that you hate the planet, Jessica.
I'm so sorry that I drink so much seltzer that I don't drink enough water. But you know,
you also you also work from home, no?
I do. I very much do work from home.
You don't need a water bottle, really.
I don't need a water bottle. I could just take a glass out and, you know, drink water.
Dude, this cup has 5 stars on Amazon and has glitter shades. What the fuck am I doing? I want glitter.
Well, what a great way to end the podcast.
This is not in the budget, though. I have $19.22 left in my spending budget for the month.
For the month? It's the 8th!
I spent too much last month, and it, like, carries over. This cup is $22.94. I can't even afford this cup this month.
What if you give up, like, a coffee or something randomly? And
I then don't buy coffee anymore. I'm off the Starbucks.
But I don't
spend any money.
Wow. How reformed you are.
What a fiscally responsible queen.
Yes.
Adam is on, has me on a very tight regimen.
Very tight leash. No water for you, Sarah.
I have overspent last month and I can't afford this $22.94 water cup that has glitter in it. But I am going to put it in my Amazon cart for next month.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, it has been absolutely lovely catching up with you, MJC. This was such, I'm so happy you pitched this movie to us because I had such a great time rewatching it. And it really is like, I know the winter can be tough for a lot of people. And I have to just say, if you can't handle new content right now, go back to your old content that you know brings you joy. There's nothing wrong with that. And there's like something really lovely about just like hunkering down with a cup of tea or a cup of soup and just watching something that you love. So that's my friendly little advice.
That was love beautiful, it. Jess.
Very
thank
sweet.
Thank you. All right. Well, thank you all for listening. We will be back in just a few weeks with another Drew Barrymore classic, Never Been Kissed. So stay tuned for that. And like we said before, we're putting out Buffy and Felicity episodes every week. Buffy is on Thursdays and Felicity is on Mondays. So check those podcasts out. And until we talk to you next time, have a good one, everybody. Goodbye.
Just ask. Shit 90 shows taught me.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.